Hello there, ladies and gentlemen, culinary enthusiasts and celestial cartographers. My name is Jared, and with me, the shining star himself, Ian.
That's me.
We will be your hosts for the episode. We are honored and grateful that you have joined us at our table. Today, we will be gearing up for Halloween as we take a look at Cryptid Cafe's The Chef's Apprentice. Ooh. Designed by No, Save Your Ooing for Later.
Ooh.
Oh. Designed by Devin Metlin. Artwork created by Chip Cole and published by Squatchy Games.
In Cryptid Cafe, The Chef's Apprentice, players will become apprentices of the great master chef. You will piece together many different plates of monster food with grand visions of creating the most appetizing to monsters set of dishes. Yum. You'll score points based on your dishes, and the winner is the player with the most points, and they are declared the real chef's apprentice. Let's review Cryptid Cafe, The Chef's Apprentice. I can't keep doing that voice, so we're going to have to go back to normal because I can't. I'll lose my voice if we keep doing that.
I understand. It's all good. We're a little bit closer to Halloween, Ian.
Yeah. We're here.
Well, no, we're not here yet. We've got a few weeks. The month is not over yet.
We're in October, though.
We are in October, very much so.
I feel like it's just all Halloween now. I love October. October is one of my favorite months. So.
It kicks off Q4, and the excitement of the holidays really gets into high gear, so that's always fun.
Yeah.
But I do have a question for you.
Ooh.
What's the most disgusting dish you've ever made?
Oh no. Man, I actually have to think about this one.
Okay, well, I will start because
mine, go for it.
I was so sure this was going to be good too.
Yeah.
Fruit Loops and chocolate milk together. It was terrible. Absolutely awful. I love both of them individually. I was like, there's no reason this shouldn't be great.
Nope.
It was awful. I mean, truly disgusting.
Man. Oh, you got me thinking. I do have one. It tasted bad mainly, I think, because... Actually, no. This was a pure disaster. Okay, so let me...
Oh, no.
I was making this, like, Cajun, like, jambalaya or whatever. And it had... it was supposed to have crab meat in it. And so, you know, I bought some, like, crab imitation meat.
That's all we can get here in the middle of Nashville,
yeah,
Tennessee.
It's
with
hard
no
to get unless you're buying
nearby.
Like real crabs.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm not breaking open like 30 crabs to try and fill up this pot, you know? And so on top of using that, I used some seasoning that was not aware of how salty the seasoning was.
Oh, no.
And so I just poured it in, like just straight up, like normal, like what I would imagine a normal seasoning would be. So on top of the imitation crab, it was literally like I took a crab out of the ocean and just drank salt water inside this just broth. It was so salty and the crab tasted so nasty. I mean, that I don't use crab imitation meat because I've ruined it for myself. I don't know how anybody uses it because I wanted to throw up. It was so salty and so nasty. I do remember that one. In general, I'm very confident in my cooking skills, so maybe I can make it inside this restaurant that we're going to talk about here, but I think that was one of my big mistakes that I've made before. So, anyway.
It's all good. Well, we're going to talk about, so I didn't fully preface this in the beginning, but we are going to talk about two games today. We're going to talk about this one first, and then Twinkle Twinkle next. Both games are tile drafting games, and so I'll jump into how to play the Chef's Apprentice, and then we'll talk about Twinkle Twinkle later on. So let's just jump right in.
Tell us more, Jared. Tell us more.
Okay, so with any good tile drafting game, we're going to start each round by drafting tiles. So the way this sets up, you basically have all these really deliciously disgusting looking dishes. They each have different temperatures on them and a various feature of them. They might be bland or moldy or rotten or soggy or sticky or maybe slimy.
Yeah.
All yummy things when you're trying to put together a good menu. And so you will take one tile at a time. You will put it in front of you in this little 4x4 tableau that you're going to be building. And the first tile kind of starts your board, and then you're going to build out from there orthogonally. So no diagonal play in this game, but you definitely can go up or down or side to side from the tiles that you already have, as long as you're staying within this 4x4 grid. Once you've placed, there's going to be a few things that you're going to want to think about. So that's, you've plated your dishes, and now we've got to prep them. So what that means is there's going to be some tokens out on the board where you can modify what your dish is. So maybe you've got a slimy dish, but you want a moldy one instead. We don't need slime, we need mold. And we need it to be hot mold, not cold mold. Absolutely. Ian's the only one that eats cold mold, and that's so 3 years ago.
Yuck.
So anyways, so you have the option of prepping your dish. There's a couple different ways to modify that board, but basically that's what you're doing there. And then if there were any eyeballs, because every good dish needs an eyeball or two.
Always.
Then you can collect those eyeballs and add them to your little stash of eyeball currency. Now, you can kind of stack the amount of eyeballs that you get if you place an eyeball tile next to another tile in your tableau that already has the eyeball symbol. You'll get an additional eyeball for each one of those that you place it next to. Eyeballs are very important because they let you buy a few different things. First, it lets you... let me look at my... I'm in the dark. This is so dumb to do this in the dark when we're trying to look at rules.
That's right. We're in the dark.
Jeez. So eyeballs let you peek at the underside of the prep tokens. So all prep tokens are double-sided, and you might want the underside. Normally, you can't see what's on the underside unless you take that token and you commit to it. But in this case, you can kind of take a peek, if you will, with your eyeball. The second thing that you could do is to spend an eyeball equal to the price shown to buy a snail. Because we all love snails.
Yum.
In our moldy salad and moldy coffee. And we need to garnish it. Snails have a way of adding points to your particular dish at the end of the game. And so that is another way of scoring points. And then, of course, like all good currency, leftover eyeballs do score for points at a 2-to-1 ratio. We do have one other thing to keep in mind when you're playing this game. There are 3 spatulas. If you don't use them, you get more points. But maybe you need to use them because there's some crazy things going on. Because, Ian.
Yes.
We love the mold. We love the slime.
We do.
We tolerate the blandness. But what we cannot tolerate in this game is trash.
No trash.
Trash is a universal no-no. We don't do trash. But sometimes, Ian, in this game, we do have to trash. And the way that that works is when you are drafting, so we're going to go back to the beginning, when you're drafting your tiles, you might want a really special dish that's higher up on the track than you can currently access right now.
Yeah.
Well, to access said dish, you will have to trash other dishes, and those are worth negative points at the end of the game. Going back to the spatula, one of the ways that you can use your spatula is to avoid all of that nonsense and go straight for something that you really want. It also lets you move things around on your own board, which you normally can't do, and just gives you a little bit of flexibility. So each round, you're going to draft the 2 tiles. You're going to place them where you want to. You're going to prep. You're going to go through all the phases we talked about until everybody has filled in their 4x4 grid. There are going to be a number of different ways to score. There's going to be public scoring. There's going to be private scoring, both with your face-up chef, but also with some face-down goals that you might have. And then once you've tallied up all your points, the player with the most points is crowned the next great chef's apprentice. So with that out of the way, let's discuss.
Yummy.
I'm just
so hungry.
Not hungry now. I'm just going to tell you.
Yeah. No, not at all.
But it is a very fun concept for a monster game where you are the monsters and you are trying to create some dishes for this cafe. It is Cryptid Cafe by itself is a game that sits in this universe by the same publisher. The artist from Chef's Apprentice was also the artist on Cryptid Cafe and the designer on the original go-around. This time there's a different designer for the Chef's Apprentice, but you go from Cryptid Cafe where you're in the front of the house to the back of the house where you're now preparing dishes to show that you have what it takes to feed the monsters of the land.
Okay.
So that's kind of the little universe that we're in here. And I will start with the artwork. The artwork's super fun.
Yeah. Like,
it's this nice combination of cute, but has enough detail where you're like, oh, that monster's really cool.
Yeah.
And so it finds a nice balance there. And especially for the price point of this game with Chef's Apprentice, like, you get some good pieces.
Yeah, man. They're like, chunky. Chunky pieces. Yeah.
There was no... Like, from a game standpoint, there was no reason for your eyeballs to be that intense. And I loved it because they're looking at me the entire time. They have so much value while I'm thinking through every single one of my decisions. There's just a lot of really good quality in this game.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And so, like, the artwork on all the different plates are all, like, really fun. And they're cute but scary. And so I love that aspect of it. And so it allows for this just kind of creepiness to happen. And so.
But also playful at the same time. You had a little bit of that moldy latte.
Whoa, I just breathed in some moldy soup. Wow, it got me. Goodness. That was nasty. Yeah, no. So the biggest thing, obviously, is like, it's cute but creepy in this.
For sure.
But the fact, and as a tile drafting game, it makes sense because you're just picking out dishes that you want. Like, you know, and yes, thematically that makes sense, but also you're just looking for icons. Like, there's a lot of icons in this, and so you're making those quick decisions based off those. But I do love, like, it makes sense thematically here. You're picking out icons that make sense, the soups and the dishes and whatever, like, you know, you get a cup of coffee and you're like, oh, let me put a snail on it. And so all of those things all match here thematically, but also give you that kind of that fun, like, creepiness to it that we're making some dishes for monsters. And so I think all of it fits really, really well together here. And it's giving you something that is kind of playful in a way, but also fun. Like, it's a tile drafting. And those are always great because they're turns are quick, you know, play moves quickly, and so you're able to just boom, 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 and now you have a whole set of plates to serve your guests.
Yeah, the final tally, I guess, of your different dishes is really cool to see because the different goals that you have, like, you'll have some customer goals, you'll have the goal from the Kraken chef, who's the one you're trying to appease, you'll have goals from the style that your particular monster likes to cook, and then you'll have your private goal, and all of these things kind of bring together particular styles. So much like an Italian restaurant or, you know, whatever it may be, you start to see your menu come together in the same way. And then you can look at it at the end and say, oh, this is what I have created for my menu.
Yeah.
And when you get really good at that, that's when it starts to really become cool to be like, oh, this was really fun. And I can't, like, you can almost get a picture of, like, when I'm serving this on a nice Sunday afternoon, like, you know, Freddie's going to love this, and Crunch is going to really want some of these. And, like, you can get a, you know, playful story with it too.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, when I enjoy it is that when you're in that final scoring, after you've kind of drafted the different, because it's, you said, is it 4x4 or how many?
Okay. Yeah, it's a 4x4 grid.
And so obviously every game is going to be a little different because, like, your individual character has something that he's kind of going for.
Uh-huh.
But then there's also those goals, and they always change. And so I like that aspect that you are always trying to kind of manipulate those plates to be in a specific order. Like, when you're drafting, like, you're picking them to go, either in specific columns or rows. And Jared went into the dark there. But and then you're looking in specific rows or columns that you're trying to like put these plates. And so it is a tile drafting, and you're trying to, like, in a classic sense, you're trying to just, you know, put it in nice organization as you're drafting them. And I think that's really cool. But on top of that, you are, you know, building out these different, you know, columns and rows and then specific icons. And so those icons will always be in a very specific order that you want to, you know, win the game with and score amount of points. So what I love is there's usually like a chef's goal. And so one of them in the games we played, it was basically for each column that you have that's all the same, so like all cold or all hot, then you would score points based on those. And so what I did is I was able to get all of my rows to be all hot or cold. So I like did hot, and then I did cold, and then I did hot. And so I'd get the, I lined them all up. And once I lined them all up, I scored like 30 points or something crazy like that, because I lined up all of my rows to match the chef's goal. And so I was able to do that. And it just felt so satisfying because I did what the chef wanted. Yes, chef. But then I also had like my own stuff that I was working on. But I thought that was really helpful. It's like it helped as a new player. I'm like, okay, what am I trying to go for here? And those chef's goals are really helpful because I'm like, okay, how do I make my goal work with that one? And so I was able to like do it perfectly. And so I matched them, and then I'd have these like beautiful rows and columns all together. And so it's fun that you're given this kind of prompt to what to go for and what not to go for. I think that's really helpful in an early, you know, in learning a game. It makes it easy to get into. And this game is super light and easy to begin with anyway. And so I think that was really helpful and a good way to make it fun. But also it kind of made sense, you know, like this is what the chef wanted. So I got to do what the chef wanted for this restaurant, you know, make all the different plates. So anyway.
Yeah. And I agree with you about it being light, but also light, but thinky. You know, that's one of those that it is that you look at it and at first you're like, oh, this is cute. And OK, we're going to make a little palette of stuff. And then you get into it and you're like, there's more here.
Yeah.
There's a lot of decisions, little decisions, like they're quick.
Yeah.
I mean, you can clip through this game really fast, but while you're in it, you're definitely thinking through a lot of different things. The other thing I'll touch on what you're saying there that I will agree with is not only do I like that there's things in front of you that are like, this is what the customers want, this is what the chef wants, there's a lot of them. So it's not just,
oh my gosh,
we're all going for this one, maybe two goals. Like there's five goals that I'm working towards on any given game.
Yeah.
And so it's not that easy for my other opponents to look at me and be like, oh yeah, he's got it, versus like seeing all the different things going on. So I do like that as well. I think that really helps the game shine because you can see all the different ways that these pieces can kind of stack together once you get to that final verdict.
Yeah. And so some of them are public, but then the other personal ones are not. And so you don't know what kind of combinations they're making. But you did say that as like, so it is thinky. And like I was saying, like when I was trying to do the rows and columns of like the hot or cold or slimy or whatever, I was also like, when I drafted a tile, that's what I was focusing on. And so I was like, oh my gosh, okay, I actually need to think about this. Okay, do I want that tile? Do I want this one? And so it was thinky, not like overly thinky, like, but it was a nice, you can't just willy-nilly do whatever you want, but I think that thought to like intentional, like, you know, drafting is important. And so that was fun. Like you're sitting there, okay, I hope he takes that tile, that way I can get those two. And so, like, you know, that there's always that forward thinking that's always nice. And all of those are just all aspects of that, and it's pretty quick, like we talked about. I think you could probably knock this game out in less than 30 minutes. I mean, depending on how many players you have and if you've all played before. So
I definitely think once you've played a couple times, playing it at two, it will go quick. Like, it has that pace to it where you've got some decisions to make, but you're also going pretty quickly. Like drafting two tiles doesn't take that long. You have an idea of what you're looking at because, I mean, obviously things are shifting as people take them, but you do have access to like 9 tiles at any given time of what's coming back to you.
Yeah.
And then even if a couple are taken, then they just get quickly replaced. And some of them become cheaper. Like you don't have to trash stuff. And you're like, oh, like there were several times that like Ian would take stuff and I'm like, thank you. Like that I didn't want to have to trash a card to be able to get that. And now it's just sitting there for me. So it just flows so well. I will say, like, you know, I like that they limit certain things. So like the snails have different counts depending on what your player count is. And that's important because those snails can be really valuable if you stack them in the right spots. And someone could just run away with it if you don't take a couple to kind of balance that out. So there's definitely different aspects of learning in the game of I need to do this and I have to do that. And if I don't do these things, the other person's just going to blow me out of the water.
And there's a limit to how many each player, like a single player, can have as well, right? Am I thinking of something wrong?
No, there's just a certain... Oh, yeah. You can only have three.
Yeah, depending on how many players there are, probably. But
yeah. Well, no. You, like, any one player can have three of them. But
okay.
In a two-player game, there's only four. So if you right. and I don't balance out, you've got a significant modifier advantage.
Sure. But like in a higher player count, like obviously like somebody can't get all of them. So I think that's good too. It's like it leaves like, you know, some space for somebody else to kind of balance those right. out.
Yep. Yeah. And it's interesting too. The other thing I'll mention is the prep tokens, which has the ability to modify what you've already done.
Yeah.
Which is always nice. Like it's a nice way of the easy thing to say is that it's a nice bailout when you're like, oh man, I need just one more of these. But another way that I find it fascinating is there was one game I was playing where we were in the middle of it and I just pivoted strategies because I needed to do one thing, but it was just never showing up. And I was like, okay, I can keep going for this, but I'm just rolling the dice and I have no idea. Versus right now, I can take this prep token, adjust a couple of things. All of a sudden, I've got three tiles that have stacked together. With yeah. this other scoring modifier. And so I think I'm going to do that instead. It ended up being the right call because the other token never showed up. And so it gives you so much flexibility, especially if you are able to take one each turn. You know, you don't always need to take one and you have that option whether or not to take it, but you can not only take one each turn, you can roll a dice. Maybe you don't like the three that are up, but you have that underside and you're like, well, maybe there's a chance that what's under here is better, or you can use the eyeball to take a look. So lots of flexibility there for sure.
Yeah, I like those options to, one, you could spend the eyeballs to look, but also, like you said, to change the dish type. Like if I'm like, okay, I'm kind of going for hot meals or slimy or whatever, like you can find those in there. And sometimes you can't find exactly what you're looking for, but you're given the opportunity to get what you need.
That's right. Ian, anything that you don't like about this one?
I mean, overall, like you're kind of limited to what, you know, the drafting options are. So like, obviously you can't, you know, reach to the very far back every time because you'd be losing too many points.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so you are, you know, you're limited to what, you know, the players give you. And especially with a two-player game, you're not going to see all the tiles. So you're just kind of limited in that. I mean, overall, I think it's quick enough that it doesn't matter, but that's something to be wary of.
Yeah, I will jump on that as well and just say that I think this game shines at a higher player count. I think at two, it's fine. But when you have a little bit more chaos in the 3 to 4 player count, I think it shows itself much better as far as having to pivot and seeing more tiles and maybe feeling like, oh yeah, then now I got to go for this and it's worth trashing because I'm not going to see it again next time. Whereas in the two player game, I'm kind of like, I can probably wait. It'll be fine, you know?
That's right.
And if not, whatever. We'll just see what comes next kind of thing.
Yeah.
I just didn't feel the same tension in the two-player game. It's very casual.
Yeah.
Which maybe that's what you're looking for, you know? So I think in a two-player game, you're going to have a much more casual time than the chaos of a four-player game in this one.
Yeah. No, it's going to be quick and easy in a two-player game. I mean, I had a great time. I mean, it does, I think, a little bit better at a higher player count, but I didn't hate it at two. I think it was fun and quick. Like, it was a really quick two-player game. So I think it does what it wants to do still at two. I think that a little bit more chaotic at three and four. So I think you're kind of, you know, kind of building out those plates. You might not get exactly what you want, but you kind of have to pivot around what the rest of the table's doing. And I think that's cool in a higher player count.
For sure. I will add, just as we kind of pivot into final thoughts on this one, I do like the amount of different chefs that are in this game. I wasn't sure at first how many there would be, but I'm pretty sure there's like 12 or something like that where
yeah,
you can
amount.
Play. And they don't do a lot. Like, they just change the different kind of goals that you're going for, but they all have really unique art. They all do have different ways of what you're looking for. So that does give a little bit of flexibility there. And so I do appreciate that. And I would say that's the biggest thing. If you like tile drafting games and you like games that offer a lot of different flexibility with the tiles that you've drafted, then I think this is definitely one worth looking at. Between the prep tokens, the snails, the spatulas, the ability to move, like there's just so many options to increase points, to modify the way that your board looks. And I really appreciate that. And the theme is fun. So those are kind of my final thoughts, if that's something you're looking for.
Yeah, I think those are good. I mean, overall, I think it's kind of cute. It's spooky, you know, and fun. I think it's, I love tile drafting, tile playing, you know, that kind of building out, you know, your kind of, I don't know, town of plates. I don't know.
Town of plates.
No, you're just building out this different...
It's your menu, man.
You're just organizing your menu. And I think those are always fun. And it gives you an opportunity to kind of use your mind a little bit. But not like... We're not a deep think here. You know, this is just for fun. And I think it's got a nice mix of thinkiness and just overall light fun. And so I think it's a good opportunity. And it's not overly creepy as well. Like, I think this could be very well played with you know... maybe a little bit older kids, but you know, younger kids are probably fine depending on the environment they're in as well. It's not anything, you know, creepy. There's like little, you know, funny eyeballs and, you know, plates that have little eyeball floating.
Yeah.
In the,
I feel
drink.
Like it's more fun, gross instead of scary, gross.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. It reminds me a lot of like Monsters, Inc. or something, you know? I think overall, if you're looking for something light and fun and a good little, I mean, this is a great little family game, like honestly, and it plays quick, and I think it goes up to 4 players. Is that right?
That's right. Yep.
So, it's a great little family game. If you're looking for something that you could just draft some tiles and kind of throw together, you know, this wonderful collection of nasty food, then I think this is a great one to try out.
And it also, I mean, the base game already comes with a lot of dishes. There are Halloween and Christmas dish packs that you can add kind of give a little theme to your time of playing.
Very fun.
And the base game right now on their website is $35, which I know we don't normally talk about cost, but man, you just get a lot of good quality in this game, like I said at the beginning.
All the tiles, I mean, the eyeballs are like, aren't they pretty? Yeah, they're like wood tiles. I mean, yeah, the
value
here.
And so is the prep tokens to modify
the prep tokens. You just get a lot of value there for sure for only $35-ish, depending on where you get it from. So yeah, that's right. It's good value for what you're getting here.
100%. All right. Well, with that, next, let's look at Twinkle Twinkle, designed by Amon Anderson. Artwork created by Natalie Dumbois and published by Allplay.
In Twinkle Twinkle, players will draft tiles representing the many things of outer space.
Woo!
We're going to make it as spooky as possible. Satellites, stars, comets, black holes, etc., etc. You will create this beautiful display in front of you of these clear tiles that represent all of these things mentioned. You will score points on the different combinations of each of those, and the player with the most beautiful night sky will become the great night sky.
That's not true.
I don't know what they become. They become Twinkle Twinkle himself.
Wow. Thanks, Mr. Twinkle Twinkle.
Yeah. Who is Mr. Twinkle Twinkle?
That's somebody you just made up.
Okay, good. There you go. Anyway, well, Jared.
Yeah.
Do you want me to explain this game?
Yes, I do. I would love for you to share in the joy of teaching games.
Okay. Okay. Well, basically, this is another... My computer just did weird things. Okay.
I got a weird glitch moment.
Yeah, just doing weird things. Anyway, so...
Got it.
Players will... It's another tile drafting game, and so players will, between 2 and 4, right? It's the same player count.
1 to 4. You can solo this one.
1 to 4, okay. Well, I haven't played the solo, so you'll have to attest to that. But anyway, you will draft these tiles, and like I said, these tiles are, like, clear. They're technically double-sided, and they have... all these different little icons on them of all these different types of things that we've kind of mentioned prior. And so one of the many things you could see on there is asteroids, satellites, comets, or black holes or planets themselves. And the last thing, or there's kind of a dual thing here, is stars, which could be on the tile with one of these other things. And so that's something you want to be mindful of. And then the last thing is the, oh gosh, what's the name of this?
The North Star.
The North Stars. And so those are usually score one by themselves, a multiple of points. But on top of that, they can be added into constellations. And so players will score based off all of these. And I'll kind of briefly talk about some of those where it kind of depends on what you're, you know, if you're scoring on the stars, it depends on how many stars you have in a constellation. It also depends on how many different constellations you have of the stars. And so that's one way that you can score. The asteroids, you want like a big cluster of asteroids, and so you'll score points based on those. And the satellites for some reason want to be next to planets, and then black holes. I'm not sure why satellites want to be next to black holes, but that's what they want to do. So there's that. The comets want to be next to constellations of stars. So you have comets and stars and all of those different things, and they'll score points based off those. Black holes, they don't want to be next to anything. They want to be a black hole. And then, like I said, the planets, they're kind of just scored based on how many planets you have, or they just kind of just score on their own. That's kind of the basic way. The one thing that I love about this, Jared, is that you can play an advanced version of all of these, and it kind of modifies the scoring that I kind of mentioned here. I don't want to go into all those because there's a lot there, and there's also a lot of other, there's an expansion that kind of adds some extra things. But it's kind of the basic thing. You're trying to build these things and put them kind of in your display, your night sky display, and scoring points based off like where you place them. And so that's kind of how that goes, Jared.
Can I jump in? And you can tell me if you've already said this and I wasn't listening.
Yeah.
Did you talk about the turn order and how that changes depending on?
No, I did not. So that's a good point. So when you're, so like when it's my turn to draft a tile, I'll place my little figure on the row of the different tiles. And so usually what happens, so let's say I take the third tile, and so then the next person goes, let's say he takes the first tile, and so that determines the turn order for the next round. And the reason that matters is some of the tiles are like really strong. Like obviously if there's a tile that has like four stars on it, that's going to be really strong. And so what they did, this little balancing feature, is when it goes into the, I don't know, what's that little, the next round's tiles, you can kind of foresee the future a little bit on what the next tiles will be. Those stronger tiles will go to the back, and so that means if you take one of those, then you will probably going last the following round because you took a really strong tile. And so no, that's a good point that you make there. I think that aspect alone really balances out the different tiles and like who gets what. Like obviously you can't, if you just go first every round, you're not always going to get the best tiles, because if you go first one round, you probably, and you take a really good tile, you're not always going to go first the following round. And so it's a really nice balancing feature of trying to balance all these different tiles and the way they score. And, you know, obviously the more icons and different things you have on a specific tile really helps you in the long haul.
Yep. Quickly, I'll go over the two expansions here in the How to Play, yeah, because it basically just adds more ways to play. The How I Wonder box adds nebulas, wormholes, rocket ships, and I think there's a couple others as well, but it basically adds more ways to play. And then the Extraterrestrials adds, as you can imagine, UFOs that bring yes, extra points with UFOs on the board. So they do modify the gameplay, but the basic structure stays the same. So just wanted to add those in there as well. So with that, we can wrap that up and discuss.
Yeah, and so
Ian, I have a question.
Yeah.
Do you know what a satellite does?
Like, in real life or in this game?
Yeah, in both. It's the same thing. I'm just responding to your question during the How to Play of why they want to be next to planets and black holes.
Well, I don't know why they want to be next to black holes, but
they can, what? They can also, like, they do the same thing they do around planets.
Yeah, I mean, in this game, it doesn't make as much sense to me, but anyway.
No, that's like, all right.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, they orbit around the planet to be able to either use, for whatever purpose that particular satellite is being used for.
Yeah.
In the same way, how do you think we find out about black holes?
Yes. No, satellites. I know. Yeah, but this is indicating that it's like going into the, it's so close it's going to get sucked into the black hole.
It is. Sometimes that is how that works.
Well, then my satellite that is scoring me 5-8 points is going to get destroyed, and I don't like that. So
space is a rough place, man. I don't know what to tell you.
Space is a rough place. Anyway, I was going to say, so in a game, like you said, with these expansions, you play with, 5 scoring. So, like, the ones I just mentioned, you play with the base game, you play with those 5. But with the expansions, you'll kind of, like, interchange one of those ones that I mentioned. So,
and you talked about an advanced side, and we need to make sure it's understood, because this is one of my favorite aspects of this game.
Yeah.
Some can be on the advanced side and others can be on the basic side.
Absolutely.
And it adds for so much creativity for how you put these different combinations together. And you might not like the scoring on the advanced side. And you're like, let's just do this. And I love that little aspect so much. It's so great.
No, that's really helpful because, like, honestly, some of them are fun to like kind of, some of them are a lot more challenging. And so sometimes you don't want to play with that one. Maybe you just want to play with the other one. So I think that the ability to swap them in and out, use the advanced side or not, absolutely. Like that just gives you so much to do here. There's so much potential in learning different things. And we say advanced to, you know, normal. I don't know what they call it, but I mean, it was still challenging even on the normal side, especially if you're playing with a
puzzle.
Yeah. Lots of puzzle there. And oftentimes, like, especially on the advanced, like, it takes even a little bit more brain power to really figure out what's going on there and what you need to do. So I think overall, like, either side is great. That's what I'm really trying to say is I think the combinations is going to be really fun to kind of mess around here.
Yeah. I think, too, having the flexibility of the expansions, like, obviously you don't have to have that, but to have even more where you can kind of decide, this is what I want to play with this time, and these are the different combinations, like, it just adds so much more to that than if you just have the 5. And so I do like the expansion, especially the How I Wonder, because it adds so much different to the game as far as what you're going after and how you're having these pieces work together. So really like that. Love, love, love the acrylic tiles for
lightning. Oh my gosh, yeah, we didn't even talk about that. I mean, I did say they were clear, but they are like clear acrylic, like really nice, chunky. You like, my favorite thing is to take the bag that's full of them and just like throw it down on the table. It makes this satisfying sound.
There are a lot of them, and it's one of those things where when you're laying it all out and you've got your little map at the end, like it's so satisfying because the way that it looks, the space backdrop behind it, it just looks so cool. And so I really like the way that it looks. And another thing, just from a component standpoint that I'm going to throw out there, dry erase scoreboards are great. I really liked it. It was one of those things where you and I just kind of went through scoring really quickly the first time we played. It was super easy to figure out. And we both saw it happen in real time. And it wasn't one of those things where everyone's like, okay, but how do you score this? Okay, but how do you score that? Like, we just did it right there.
Yeah, exactly. And I what I really like too, because you kind of mentioned that too. So, like, each player has their own board, but then you place what you're using to score for that game. There's little tiles that tell you all the scoring you need for that game. Mm-hmm. And so that goes slots kind of like, is recessed into your board a little bit. So you kind of slide those in. And so like, if you play with a different, if you play with UFOs or something, that you swap one out and you put them on the side of your board. I thought that was so cool. Like, you have all the scoring you need to know right there on front of your board. And you can easily change it out with whatever game, whatever you're using. If you're using the advanced or different expansions or just the basic, whatever you want, it's all slides in right there. I think that was really smart on top of, like, obviously the dry erase is awesome feature, but like everything fits on your little board. I think that's super neat. And it just allows, it's just ease of play, like ease to get into. And so like the biggest thing in games, like how quickly can we get to the table? How fast can I teach it? And how fast can we just start moving? And so if everything's like right there, yeah, I can give you a basic rundown of the rules. But then if you ever have a question, it's like right there in front of you. You don't have to ask again because it's like right there. And I think that's really neat.
Well, and to piggyback off of that, I think what you're trying to do in this game is similar to what people are trying to do when they go stargaze. Where, and what I mean by that is the emotion and the mental capacity that the output that you're giving. So if I go into an open field and I just lay down, I look at the stars, I probably don't want to put any mental effort into it. Like, I just want to go and relax and stare at the vastness of space.
Yeah.
And in the same way, like, I think you can do that in this game where you're just like, we're just going to play a basic casual game. We're not going to overthink it, you know, whatever, no big deal. But then I've also had times where I've gone out in the field and I've stargazed, and then we brought a telescope. And, you know, sometimes we've got a friend out there who's an astronomer professor at college and like is pointing out all these different things.
All these things.
He's got his multi-thousand dollar telescope out there.
There's a black hole.
Showing you all these things. And you start talking through all the different constellations and the connections and whatever else. And it is like, oh, this is awesome. And you're working your brain a little bit more. And in the same way, when you start working those advanced sides, there's a lot more going on. So it's so cool to see the emotion behind the theme come through, not just like, I don't know, this is not even close to similar, but I'm thinking about like when we've talked about Marvel Champions and I got sucked in because I felt like I was playing Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I didn't have the emotions of Spider-Man. I just felt like I was Spider-Man. Whereas in this game encapsulates stargazing, which I think is just, it's so cool.
It does. No, it does. And so you're like, you're trying to piece together all these different things and you're trying to make these big constellation of stars and other things. And honestly, like you kind of mentioned that, is there a particular of like the basic, not
yeah,
of the planets, black holes, the basic things that I said, was there one that like you liked trying to focus on the most?
I loved doing the comet, which basically takes points from the stars that are around it, and then learning how to navigate to have these two long constellations that wrap, because like you get a bonus for having your constellation stretch so far, but then like any constellation, like it has to end, like it can't just go endlessly. And so learning where to close off that constellation and starting a new one so that you're maximizing your points, I really enjoyed that. That one was for me like just a really fun one to do. What about you?
Yeah, I think which I wasn't able to do it as often as I wanted to, but I think the asteroids, just building like a bunch of clusters of asteroids, I think was really fun. But I do think the comets were really fun. Like you said, I think my biggest thing was the different stars. Like I have a couple asteroids here. Okay, I'm good on this corner of the map of my little board. But how can I build out a bunch of constellations? And so like you're saying, I was like, should I just do one really big one or like a couple big ones? Or should I try and do like eight tiny, three stars? And I thought that was really fun as you're trying to just, and then everything, we're saying all this, like the stars have different shapes on the tile. It's a square tile, but the stars, it has lines. And so you have to line the stars.
You have to align the stars.
Yeah, you have to align the stars. So like some of the lines don't, you know, they come out on one way or the other of that square. And you can rotate it and flip it upside down. You can, it's double-sided for a reason because you can manipulate it. But sometimes it doesn't work. And so you really do, you kind of have to figure out how do I want that constellation to go? And especially when you're looking at all the other tiles that are coming up. You're like, okay, well, I'm going to go last. So, like, I hope that tile's still there, you know? And so I did, like, really the biggest thing was, I think, the stars themselves trying to align them all. But if it was one of the other tiles or the big things, I think the asteroids is really fun because you're like, let me just get a bunch of asteroids then. Let's do it.
I think one of the other things I liked is being, and I mean, this is in a lot of tile drafting games, but it was really important because it's one of those things where you're deciding how much do I gamble now for later. But being able to see that what's coming up next track and knowing that there's going to be, so in the main, like the ones you're drafting from, there's five. So there's going to be one tile left over and that tile is going to slide down and still be a part of the next go. And so there's a few things that you're keeping in mind of, okay, this is coming. This is what I think is going to be left over. Is it worth it to go third or fourth in line here, knowing what's going to probably be left? Because I want this tile so badly. And it's not just this tile, but how does this tile work with the tiles that I've already taken and the tile that I'm probably getting on the next go?
Exactly.
So there's lots of little like tweaks and how do I decide to go about this? And sometimes you get stuck with something. You're like, this is not what I wanted, because it's not like you have infinite space. Like, you're in, I forget what the size on this one is, but you're in a very confined space of, you can do this much and then the game is over.
Exactly. Exactly. So you're limited to what you got and you just got to build from there.
Yep, for sure. I will add one more thing. I think I just really enjoy this in tile laying games where, so, you know, normally you're just drafting one tile at a time. In a two-player game, you're drafting two at a time. And or you're drafting two per round. So you might be drafting back-to-back, or depending on how the turn order plays out, you might not be. I love having two tiles in the same round. I know technically it kind of plays itself out the same, but it just feels like you can kind of stack a little bit better because you're working with what's there already. So I really enjoy that aspect. I love that it became a thing of two on one round instead of having to slide off or slough or whatever it may be. But I really enjoyed that, and just another little feature to add for that.
Yeah. Yeah, those are all, I mean, I think this game is really fun. It does everything, and I guess this is like a final thought, I guess. But
sure.
Like, for the player count and for how quick this plays and the thinkiness, like, both of the games we talked about have a lot of thing. I think this one has a little bit more, like, you're really trying to dig into those scoring and how it works. But I think overall, like, the flexibility here between flipping between the upgraded tiles, and then there's obviously an expansion already, it just gives you so many opportunities to really just change the game every time you play here. And you're given these opportunities to really, you know, use your mind a little bit to, you know, manipulate the tiles. You can flip them up, you know, flip them upright, and then you rotate them. There's just so many things you could do here with this tile laying game and tile drafting game. That's unlike a lot of other ones. You know, obviously there's other ones you can change the orientation of them. This one you can flip like completely upside down or upside right. And so, like, you're just given a lot here to manipulate. And I think that's really cool.
I would agree. I think this game has a lot going for it. I mean, it was hard for me to find things to critique about this one. I mean, for me, I think the only thing, and this isn't about the game so much as the publisher. I just feel like if you're going to create a game with planned expansions at the release, they need to be able to fit in one box. And I haven't like spent extensive amount of time trying to do it, but on our first few times of being like, all right, let's see if we can fit it all in, it didn't fit. And I'm just like, man, like, I don't want to carry around four boxes that's exaggerating. It's two boxes, but it's more than I want to carry around. I want it to all fit, and the fact that it doesn't is a little bit frustrating, especially because, I mean, if it's one thing if, like, an expansion comes out a year and a half later and you weren't necessarily sure if you're going to do it or not, that's fine.
Yeah.
But this is at release, and so I just feel like, come on. I mean, All Play has got a lot of good stuff going for it. I feel like that was a bit of an oversight, but it's a very small gripe in the grand scheme of this game.
Sure. No, but it is something to keep in mind. Like, yeah, it's not going to all fit in there. So it is tough.
Yeah. So, but as far as the game goes, I thought about this when we were playing, and I couldn't help but chuckle to myself as I'm like thinking about stargazing. So a little bit over a year ago, I critiqued Amon Anderson's game Gnome Hollow for being too chill and too non-aggressive and whatever. And I know that one wasn't for me. This one, for whatever reason, I don't know if it's the theme or the structure of everyone's got their own board or whatever it may be, the more chill aspect with the undertones of learning when to take that first player.
Yeah.
I love it. I love everything about how this game comes together. I love how it has the flexibility of a chill game, a little bit of think, or we can just throw it all at the kitchen sink and really just kind of go at it. I really love that level of flexibility and the beauty of the game on the board and the accessibility of it. I think Twinkle Twinkle has a lot going for it. And so I would highly recommend it. You know, if tile drafting, just relaxing, stargazing, if any of those things speak to you, then I think this is one that's going to be a good fit for your collection.
Absolutely. I think you worded that perfectly. I don't know if I need to add to it. I think this is all of those things. So awesome. I highly approve.
Well, I'm glad you approve, man. That just really warms my heart. I want you to know that. So
nice. So to put a star into your sky.
I got a little star in my eye with all the twinkling.
There you go. There you go.
All right. We're going to wrap this up before it gets any worse.
Let's do it.
Dude, this silly, like, being in the dark thing is so goofy.
Yeah, I know. It's bad.
Oh, you should cut that and like be that. That's the social post. Is just talking about how goofy it is to be in the dark.
Yep. Absolutely.
All right. Well, thank you all for putting up with our goofiness and for listening. If you have feedback or want to give us your thoughts on the games that we talked about today, we would love to hear from you. Links to our socials are in the description. If you don't like socials, I get it. Check out our website at thegametablepodcast.com. Shoot us an email at thegametablepodcast@gmail.com or find us on BoardGameGeek. 5-star reviews, subscribing your podcast player of choice, following us on socials, and joining the conversation on Discord. All these actions are... Oh my. Easy for you to say. These heroic actions are immensely helpful in growing this podcast. Special thanks to Ashley McCaffrey for her cover art, to Anna Snyder who made the intro and outro music, and to Alexi Chistlin for how to play background music. Join us next week. Where are we going next week?
I don't know.
Join us next week as we head back over to the two top table. In the meantime, may your dice rolls and your card draws be blessed, and your experiences at the table be ones to remember forever.
It's October.
If I could throw my voice, that would be super creepy with the thing behind me right now. That but I can't, would. So it is what it is. I can All hear right. her singing Twinkle Twinkle in my head. It's freaky.
We're done now.